It's just the audio. And how is everybody doing today? For real. Thank you. Thank you. You're far too kind. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Good, man. Beautiful weather outside.
Yes.
We recently had some difficult news in the media with the passing of O.J. Simpson. I know a lot of people have been taking it in different ways, good and bad. But for that, we've been thinking a lot about athletes turned actors, and that we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, we try to put like a, a spin, a we seem to spin on, O.J.'s death. Some people might find joy in it. Some people might find discomfort and sadness in it. But we just find a reason to make a list.
So Pat and I are both gonna list our top actor, or I'm sorry, tap. Let me do that one more time. So Pat and I are gonna list both our top picks for athlete turned actor and our top picks for worst athlete turned actor. It's funny because when we were first thinking about these lists, we were thinking of sports players in like basketball, football, hockey, things like that. And I didn't even think about, like, bodybuilding and all these other sports, wrestling and things like that. So it's actually a very long list to filter through. And, Pat, you want to go first as for your pick of best actor or best athlete turned actor?
Yes, my best actor. Jesus Christ, that is.
Yeah, it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, my best athlete turned actor, number five, is going to be Fred Dreyer. From Hunter, the TV show, my young heads are not gonna. I don't even think people say that. They all say old heads. They never say young
Here's
heads.
Here's what I found.
Jesus Christ. Get off my fucking case. Yeah, people don't know, but you young kids don't know. Young Thundercats don't know anything about, like, the shows that used to take place in the 80s. I think it took place before my time, even in the 70s. But, you know, we used to get replays in the 90s, and there was one show in particular that I used to fucking love, and it was called Hunter. And I just found out that this motherfucker was an athlete. He was a former college football standout at San Diego State University, where he played defensive end and was the first round draft pick for the New York Giants in 1969, where he played for three seasons, which I'm like, oh shit, that is pretty fucking dope. Now to his acting, he has played, there was this show that was called Hunter, and by far it was like one of the dopest shows. Off camera, we were talking about how like that theme song to that show was so fucking good. It was, I don't know. Should I just play the song?
Yeah.
Should I just play it? It's like one of those songs that just sticks with you. And on top of that, like, for some reason, action TV shows back in the day, when they used to play, they had a lightheartedness in the middle of the song. You don't know what it was, but here it is right here. This is the song right here. That's my boy right here. She was so hot. Doug. You gotta give it some time. And here you go. That little light shit. Best. And that's my pick for number five. What about you, Kevin?
So for number five, I'm actually going to go with someone that I didn't even realize that they were an athlete. I literally discovered this right before we started recording, and it's going to be Jason Lee. Jason Lee apparently was a professional skateboarder. Before he turned actor. And it's crazy how everything is connected, because I just discovered Jason Lee was a professional skateboarder. Right before we started recording, we were looking up a list of best fictional songs in movies, and they brought up, what was the name of the movie? The Rock movie.
Dwayne Rock Johnson
movie? No. The movie where he plays in the rock band.
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous, which he was in, and I think he did a great job playing the lead singer of this fictional movie. And Mallrats, he's done a lot of the Kevin Smith films. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a fantastic actor. He was also part of some really good TV shows. I think it's My Name is Earl. Is that the name of the show?
Yeah, he was Earl in My Name is Earl, yeah.
Really good comedic actor. I think he has a lot of range, and there, nothing from his skateboarding career is in any of his like personas in the roles that he plays, which to me I think is like a good way to gauge if someone really did make that transition from sports to acting, is like if they can leave the sports behind and just become an actor. And I think Jason Lee is a good example of that. What's your number four?
Oh, wait. What sport did he play?
He was a skateboarder.
Okay.
Yeah, professional skateboarder.
Professional fucking skateboarder. The times that we live in now.
That right there tells you that how Pat feels about the X Games and not sports.
They're sports. They're most definitely sports. The way that I gauge sports is that if I can do it, it's not a sport. So that is most definitely a sport because I can't do it. You know what I mean? But it is a sport. But the people that he's playing, I mean, they're bohemian. You know what I mean? It's not far. It's not a far reach. Is what I'm saying. It's not a far reach for Jason Lee to play these characters. You said he was in Mallrats. The character that he played in Mallrats, could you see, like, the movies that he's played, right?
Uh-huh.
Could you see, like, it could be a continuation of one man's journey into adulthood?
Wow. Yeah, I could, actually, yeah.
I mean, it's... It's like it doesn't. I mean, he's not going to Juilliard. You know what I mean? He's not a
very versatile.
He's not going all over the place. So
it's very linear.
Hey, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. It ain't. It's a thing. It's a thing with him. Like the fact that he called his first son airplane pilot or whatever his name. It's like this guy, he's dealing with a deck of cards, and those cards are Uno.
What? What is your number four?
My number four is Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, sometimes I feel like real crazy trying to say that fucking name, man. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be my number four, who is a bodybuilder. And his filmography is extensive. To say the least. And I have to say that over under, I would have to say that he has more movies that I really enjoy compared to movies that I'm not willing to watch. Most of his movies that I'm not willing to watch now are maybe his more recent stuff, the Expendable movies that he's in. But all of his his stuff from the 80s and 90s are fucking great. And the one movie that I put in front of all his movies that he's made that I want to put like as a benchmark for his work is I forgot the name of the movie. Commando. That's the name of the movie. That's the movie that I put. What's the movie that you put for James Lee as his benchmark movie?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous? That's a good one. That is a real good one.
So in the movie Almost Famous, his character and the lead guitarist are in conflicts with each other because he feels that the lead guitarist keeps trying to steal the spotlight. Like the lead guitarist feels like he's more talented than everyone in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a piece of shit in the movie. Like he claims like, oh, I'm just in it for the rock and roll and I'm just in it for the music. And it's evident that it's not. It's more than that. He wants to be on the cover of every magazine. Like, he wants to sell out and live that lifestyle that all rock stars end up living. And that conflict between the two is really interesting. And then you have the kid, the main character, who's just in the middle of everything, just documenting everything. And the kid literally writes down everything that he sees and everything that he hears. And when the magazine comes out, he's a piece of shit because he goes back and tells Rolling Stone magazine, no, that kid fabricated all of that. I didn't say any of those things. And he did. Like, there's a scene in the movie where he's reading the article and he's reading out the quotes that the kid wrote about him. And he's like, I never said any of those things. And he did. Like, you could go back and watch the scenes again. Like, he literally said all of those quotes. And he's just like, I never said any of that. And, wow. And it's because he's so, like, up here. He's like, he's a god amongst ants. Like, he thinks he's perfect and he's not. So I think Almost Famous definitely. I would have never guessed that this guy was one of those, like, skateboard dudes.
I got a question. This is about, like, musicians who think that they're god. Have you ever seen Fred Durst solo, guitar solo?
No. I didn't even know he could play guitar.
He can't. I saw this shit yesterday. I was filming some Real Idiot stuff, and then they showed me Fred Durst's guitar solo that he did, and it was so bad. I was like, this has to be, like, somebody else did this. Like, it was like a, like, you know how they do, like, those fucking strum voice, yeah. VOs? And I was like, this shit is so bad. And it just reminded me, Fred, I spelled his last name Durst.
D-U-R-S-T.
R-S-T solo. And it's so bad, man. He did this shit live. Never mind. Never
mind. Never mind. Yeah. That guitar isn't tuned correctly. Shag my friends tonight. Was he trolling the crowd or that was for real? So you know the story, you know that's crazy because that pays testament to the actual story about that band. They tried getting signed. And they eventually signed on to Korn's record label. Korn kept telling them, we're not going to sign you because you guys, your sound is trash. You guys need a guitarist. And when the guitarist joined the group, mm-hmm. that's when they got signed. They were like, finally, like, yeah, now your sound sounds good.
Who was the guitarist before?
No, there wasn't a guitarist. Like, it was like, I think it was him or someone else playing the guitar. And it was, Korn said, you guys sound like trash. You need a better guitarist. And then the actual guitarist joined the group, recorded a demo with them, and then they were like, okay, now we'll sign you. That guitarist saved that band. Like, the reason why they blew up was because of him. It wasn't because of Fred Durst or anything like that. I think Fred Durst is the least talented in that whole group, and he's really? The lead singer. Bro, their drummer is solid. Their bass player, solid. Like, solid, solid, solid. When Jonathan Davis was making the lead singer of Korn, when he was making the soundtrack for Queen of the Damned,
yeah,
he hired the bass player to do the bass on some of the songs for that album because he thought he was that good. And then, obviously, there's no argument about the guitars. The guitarist yeah. is fucking phenomenal.
Didn't he find like, God, the guitarist?
No, that was the guy from Korn.
Oh, okay.
But like Fred Durst, like what, I mean, the guy raps, but he's a shitty ass rapper.
Nobody he put sings, that dude but... in their top five rappers. You know what? I'm you know what? Out of trolling, I'm thinking about putting Fred Durst in my top five rappers.
Oh shit.
I'm just like, oh, who your favorite top five rapper? I'm like, oh, fucking Fred Durst. And you know who else? What's that one
Insane
dude?
Clown Posse.
Oh, I could never, dude. That will hurt me just saying that shit. What's that other dude? There was I was watching New Girls and they said this one dude, he used to be on 90210.
What?
He used to be married to oh my god, what's her name? The person who the beautiful woman who's married to Machine Gun Kelly now.
Megan Fox?
Megan Fox.
90210?
Yeah, Megan Fox.
There was an actor that became a rapper?
Yeah, he still comes out with music to this day. Brian Austin Green. Yeah. BAG, baby, bag. I was watching New Girl, and they asked Schmitty. They asked Schmitty, who's your favorite rap artist? And he said, Brian Austin Green. And I remember watching it being like, and I got up. I'm like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is that? And I'm like, it's this guy. And, dude, if you go to Spotify, right, and you look up Brian Austin Green, should we bless the people with his kind of music?
Yeah. and not just bless, but educate, because I had no idea about this anyway. This is my first time hearing this.
Oh, put too many. Brian Austin Green. Look at that. Artist. That's what it said.
Oh, he took out the Austin part. Brian Green. Let's.
Yeah, ready for this?
Let's go for this.
This is number one. You see, a man can only do so much. And a woman has that magic touch. You want lyrics?
There was a time when I used to think past physical acts. I was tired of leaving too many tracks and no one had my back. Always looking on the other hand till the other man pointed out another lady that could join the clan. I was kind of hesitant because I wasn't sure if super masculine was the way I was to represent. Because some like the later feelings could be greater. But on the other hand, you choose
BG, baby.
I never got the bitch's number because after fronting for one night, she left me up to wonder. Could this have been a lifetime that I just wasted? The thought was pasted across my mind from something that I tasted. Like the honey, it's kind of funny. The sugar's made by the bee, yet the
bee can be a... Well, I'm glad you just contributed 2 cents to the Brian Green streaming.
Yeah, man. 18,000 streams, baby. 358 streams a month. That's more streams than we get on our podcast a month. So
that means Brian Green's rap career is more successful than
podcast. From 90210. It was one of the craziest things that stuck with me after watching New Girls. I was like, what the fuck? Nah, I'm like, this guy was a rapper. And once you dive deep into that whole thing, you find out that he makes music. I think he still makes music, which is you find out there's a lot of art, there's a lot of actors who make music, but they don't like to post it out there, what's that? Steve Buscemi? Not Buscemi. What's the one guy who's from Goodfellas?
Ray Liotta.
Not Ray Liotta.
Rob De Niro. Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. He makes music too. He's a DJ. I don't think he really sings. I think he just mixes.
DJ.
Yeah.
DJ Pesci.
Yeah. How you spell Pesci?
P-E-S-C-I.
It's like it looks like it's Pepsi a little bit. Music career. Let me see.
Joe Pesci now looks like he could be like a jazz something. Something with jazz.
Something with jazz?
I don't know if it's like a piano player or like saxophone or something. He looks like a jazz musician now.
Joe Pesci, let me see. Joe Pesci, artist. You see that? That's how.
Wow.
Look at that.
He's a singer, bro. He's a crooner.
What's that song says? Wise Guy, his first track.
Do it. That's the.
Let me hear that again. It's the bitches that'll get you. It's the bitches that'll get you.
It's a bitches that it gets. Wait, go back to that image.
Oh, to the image?
Vincent LaGuardia Gambini. That's the character he plays in My Cousin Vinny. Hey, made out my ass.
armor bronze like trash. You'll catch a blast if you move too fast. I talk with class, so you don't have to ask. Getting everything by flashing cash. Fighting and stealing, don't.
This is Joe Pesci rapping. Now, here's a question. All about respect
and intellect. Who's doing a better job? Do you think Joe Pesci is doing a better job or my boy Bag? BG, baby.
I'm going to go with Joe Pesci because this is Joe Pesci. Like, Joe, so who you see Joe Pesci in playing in movies, that's Joe Pesci. He's not playing characters.
Yeah.
He's being, Brian Austin Green was playing a character when he's rapping.
Yeah.
But this is Joe actual Pesci.
Have you ever seen 90210 before?
I don't think I've ever seen that episode.
He was the closest thing to Urban on that show.
Oh, he was like from the other side of the tracks?
Yeah. He was the Eminem of, of 90210. This is from somebody who's seen like episodes in passing. Like, I've seen like maybe in total, I would have to say that maybe I've seen like a total of 6 episodes out of the whole series. So Brian Austin Green was... He was a bad boy in Brian Austin in 90210.
Why do all these shows do that?
They have a bad boy?
They have a bad boy. What was it? The OC? The OC had the main character is the bad boy.
Yeah. Brian Austin Green wasn't the main guy. He was like the guy who, this is, mind you, I don't know about the show. I'm just what do they call that shit? Usual things that happen in movies. I'm going off of that. I'm thinking that he may have wanted to date the main character's sister at one point. So, and like, yo, I don't want you dating my sister because you're a bad influence on her. So he was that guy. Or maybe he was friends with the best friend, with the main character. But he was like, he lived on the wrong side of the road. Kind of shit. I could be wrong. But yeah. I don't even... We're deviating from what our main topic was, but I do like this topic right here. We should talk about... Next time we should do a topic on actors turn like musicians and stuff and who are the best on that. And Joe Pesci got to be in that list. BG got to be in that list. And who's the other person that I was saying that... The person who was on your list, you saying that he was also an artist that I'm added to my top 5 rappers alive?
No, I don't have anybody on my list that turned rapper.
Oh, I can't believe we're playing Pesci in the background as we're talking.
Yeah.
The way it should be. But look how many albums he's come out with. That album came out in 1998. He had an album that dropped in 2019. He has a single that dropped in 2021.
Why is no one talking about this?
And it's called Baby. Should we play just a little track of Baby? Let's see what Baby's about. Если хочу ли я все это maybe. Но мы потели с братом над этим все дни. Ведь нами движут идти, ты ради baby. Скажи, что ты хочешь от этой славы деньги. Спроси, хочу ли я все это maybe. Но мы потели с братом над этим все. This goes hard. I ain't hating it. I'm not hating it.
I just want to know if he raps in this.
That's not... What language is that? His name is in there. Or maybe this guy calls himself Joe Pesci as a... I'm gonna fast forward a little bit.
If that's what it is, I don't like the fact that he's using Joe Pesci's name. Show some respect.
Show some goddamn respect. Well, the latest one he has is this one right here. How about you?
See, that sounds like Joe Pesci. When I think of Joe Pesci, I think of this.
Pesci. still singing.
I like New York in June.
Yeah,
there it is.
How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I like a fight.
Joey Depesh.
See, if this was a music video, I would put him on a stage singing this, and you see his manager off stage watching, and his manager is Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Never get my fill. Oh my God.
Oprah Winfrey smile. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I've never heard anybody talk about Oprah Winfrey smile before. Oh, a little jazz,
a little solo.
Wow. Dude, it's... I don't know how I found out about this, but when I found out about it, it was like one of those, like, huh. I'm happy that he's doing... I think it was around the same time that he came out with that that Netflix movie.
The Irishman.
And, you know, one of the questions that popped up is, like, people were saying, like, what has he been up to since, you know, doing this? Is that, it's, you know, some people were saying, like, it sucks that he's going to go back into, you know, like, these gangster movies since, you know, the last time we saw him, it was a gangster movie. And I think it was either a podcast or maybe a TikTok that said that. Now, he makes music. And I was like, he makes what? He makes what now? Music? And I was thinking, like, nah, there's no way. And I'm good with it. I mean, it seemed like he's versatile because he was rapping on one track and he's over here crooning on another. This guy's all over the spectrum. It's a beautiful thing. Joey Pesh, man. Joseph Frank Pesci. Maybe that's his actor's name or maybe his real name. You gotta like it. But let's get back to our list. So what's your fourth pick?
My fourth pick is going to be John Cena. John Cena also has shown some range from comedic to more dramatic to action. It's getting to a point where I think he's now entering the realm of just being a Hollywood actor. I've been seeing him a lot on social media promoting different movies and different specials and things like that. I think a lot of times you see these professional athletes turn actors, they'll stick to a certain genre or they'll stick to a certain age range in the movies and TV shows that they're in. John Cena has shown that versatility where, like, he's doing adult things and he's also doing, like, child-friendly things. Like, I've seen him do promos for, like, the Nickelodeon Awards and stuff like that. But at the same time, I see him doing The Peacemaker and all these other, like, raunchy things, and I think it's very cool to see him make that transition where now he's just that actor.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I really do like that. See, John Cena was my number two. He was my number two. I have a feeling like we're going to get down to the wrestlers when it comes down to, like, number one and two. That's a pretty good pick. Oh, what do you think is his standout? What's his benchmark movie?
I think The Peacemaker.
Peacemaker?
Well, The Suicide Squad and then Peacemaker. Suicide Squad, I think his role was so memorable. The fact that they actually made a spinoff, I think, is a testament to how great his role was and how memorable it was. Also, the movie that just came out on Amazon with him...
Oh my God! What's the name of that comedy? Is he supposed to be playing a game? He's the name of the character.
It's like Rickety.
Rickety, not Rickety Cricket. Oh my God!
Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah,
I recently watched it. It was really funny.
Yeah,
I thought he did a really great job.
Like, if this movie would have came out in the early 2010s, it would have been a theater release, guaranteed.
Oh, because for sure.
It had that feeling of Neighbors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
And what's your number four?
Oh, number three. My number three pick is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's my number three pick because I think his benchmark movie is The Rundown. That's my favorite movie that I've ever seen that he was in. I thought it was pretty dope. Also, I think that's his first movie that he ever did coming out of wrestling. It was a dope movie. It had the guy Stifler in it. It was about Brazil. I loved the whole concept of it. And then, you know, he just seemed like he just stuck to that path of movies for a while. And it worked out for him. And now I see that he's making a movie with A24 based off of a wrestler. And it has, oh, my God, what's her name? The one who's married to Jim from The Office. Is it his real wife?
Emily Blunt
is supposed to be in it. She's supposed to play his wife in this movie that's supposed to, I think they're shooting the next couple of months. And I'm looking forward to it. He's supposed to play a real-life wrestler that lived in the past and, you know, some dramas that ensues. And it's an A24 movie, so I'm looking forward to it.
So the movie that is
My act, yeah. His benchmark is The Rundown. What's your number two?
Wait, are we on? I just did my number four.
Shit. What's your number three?
Wait, but what was your number five?
My number five was
The Dude from Hunter?
Yeah, The Dude from Hunter.
And then your number four?
Was, shit. Who was my number four? I did do my number four, didn't I?
That's the thing. I think we skipped your number four. Because we started talking about music.
Fuck. Well, my number four is going to be Roddy Piper.
Okay. So that was your...
Yeah, my number four is going to be Roddy Piper. So, yeah. Roddy Piper. His benchmark movie, I mean, it goes without fucking saying. It's going to be They Live. That's his benchmark movie. I love every time he's in a movie, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to go see this shit. And every time he's going to put in, even in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, when he played like a washed-up wrestler, he basically stole the whole fucking show. You should watch that podcast when they're talking about that episode. It's fucking classic. It's one of the best. They were giving their kudos to Roddy Piper, but the things that happened on set was fucking hilarious. Because I guess he had, like, a person who was with him around the time. And that dude was kind of, like, a sketchy guy. Which is, like, it's a scary thing to have on set. If you just have, like, you have an actor, but you have, like, an actor that has, like, an entourage. But just an entourage of just one is... You think an entourage of, like, four or five people is scary or maybe, like, oh, shit, intimidating. But nah, a person who just has, like, one person is like, oh, this is your bodyguard? Nah, this is just a guy who just comes with me. Like, okay. All right, that's what's up. That's terrifying. Because you don't need anybody else if you just got this one guy. Jack of all trades. Okay, that's my number four pick. And my number three pick was The Walk. I am a New Jersey five-year-old, and I don't know how to fucking speak. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Thank you.
That would be a funny, like, Japanese stereotype skit. Like, the Japanese version of The Rock, The Walk.
The Walk.
So my number three pick on this list is Dave Bautista.
Mm.
This is an athlete, MMA fighter, wrestler, turned actor, who, at this point, I forget about his entire, like, previous career because he's been in that many movies. Also, like, he's been in that many Academy Award-winning movies and, like, really good, well-made movies. Right now, happens to be part of the biggest blockbuster, Dune Part 2, current blockbuster, Dune Part 1. he's been in so many really great movies, and he has shown range from comedic to overly serious, to, you know, overly dramatic, I should say. And obviously, we can't forget him in his contribution to Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he's played a very vital role of shaping Hollywood to its current state, where it's like, no, dude, like, you don't have to be part of this Hollywood stereotype legacy. As long as you've got the acting chops, you can make it too. Yeah. And I think he's shown everybody that. And voice acting
chops.
And voice acting, yeah.
Yeah, because he was in The Boy and the Heron. He played the parakeet king, which I didn't even know that he was the voice of that. That's pretty dope.
You know, it's crazy because, like, I look at Dave Bautista, like, in Blade Runner and how creepy, terrifying he was in that role. But then you see him in Guardians of the Galaxy and how hilarious he is in that role. And that right there shows you his range, that he can do it, man. He's really taking it seriously. And he wants to do more roles like that, which I really respect.
Yeah, even in his movie, what was the name of that movie that he did that I was like, I was shocked about? Oh, Knock at the Cabin. Man, dude. Like, it was crazy because you would think that, oh, you know, he's gonna play the intruder that just pushes his weight around. But no, he barely lift a finger, man. It was like mostly just talking. Like, he was just saying things. Like, he was just talking about, like, stuff, and he had everybody else do all the fucking, like, attacking and killing and shit like that, which was an amazing thing, because usually you see big do big things, but he didn't do it, man. It was an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, that was actually going to be the movie that I picked that really shows his acting chops, which was Knock at the Cabin. He plays, I guess you could say, almost like a gentle giant in that movie. Yeah. Like, you see his size. And yeah, like I thought, you just exactly like you said, I thought he was going to be like the enforcer forcing his way through, but he's actually showing more of his power through dialogue and trying to convince these people that the world really is ending unless they make that sacrifice. Who's your number three?
My number three pick was...
Or who's your number two?
My number two pick is... Oh, you already said it. It was John Cena. And my benchmark role for John Cena... Suicide Squad. So you already said it. Is that? That's it. that was it. And I really love John Cena's movies. I you know, it doesn't come as a surprise that he's able to do that kind of stuff. You know, being not an avid watcher of wrestling, but you know, I know how good he is on the mic when it comes to, like, just, you know, improv. And to see that, you know, somebody gives him some decent lines, how he's able to take those lines and make something of it is an amazing feat. Batista is really good as well. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, shit, I'm not sure if anybody who's out there who's listening to this or watching this have seen the, you know, WrestleMania 24, but goddamn. You know what I mean? Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson just bodies his, like, the charisma of all three of these guys is, like, unfucking touchable. It's an amazing thing. Wait, I think my fourth person was it Arnold Schwarzenegger? Nah. Yeah, it was. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So it wasn't even Roddy Piper?
It wasn't Roddy Piper. So it's all right. This fucking list, I don't care. I didn't even write anything down. I'm just going off of feels right now. I'm going off of pure energy and emotions right now, man. I got crystals right now around my neck. Going off of, you know, we just had an eclipse and I didn't sacrifice any goats. So I'm at the whim of the Magi.
Did you watch the eclipse?
I don't think we could. Could we?
I mean, well, if you have the glasses, I bought the glasses. I was watching it.
I just looked at the sun, and I'm doing perfectly fine.
I put the glasses over my my camera lens on my phone, and I got like 2 seconds of.
What did you get? But we don't. I posted it. We don't get the full eclipse.
No, it was like halfway.
Not worth it. Not worth it. In 2045, we'll be able to get it because it's coming straight towards Miami. So you think that you got blind people now? Watch in 2045 when that shit's coming this way. It's supposed to be coming directly here. If I'm alive around that time, because I don't know. I mean, place your bets, people. Let's see what happens.
All right, so my number two is John David Washington. Mm. John David Washington played for the St. Louis Rams. He's the son of Denzel Washington. I had no idea that this guy actually played football. I remember seeing him in Black Klansman. He was fantastic in that movie. Then I saw him in Tenet, and I remember watching an interview with Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan wanted an actor who not only can deliver the performance, but he needed someone who was physically capable of doing those fight scenes because he didn't want to use a stunt actor. He wanted people to see that this was the actor doing those stunt scenes. And John David Washington had to memorize and the choreograph, and then they had to memorize the choreograph backwards because they actually it wasn't like they shot the action scene and then played it backwards in the movie Tenet. They shot two scenes, one forward and then the second one with him moving backwards, which I think right there from Black Klansman to Tenet, that already shows you that he can act and he's a physical actor as well, too. So he's got the capability of being the next big action star as well. And then we all saw him in The Creator, which is like a mix of both. And I think John David Washington definitely deserves that spot of like best athletes turned actors for sure.
Yeah.
What's your number two?
My number two. Oh, I already said my number two. My number one is, I don't know. Let me go off of the list right here. I'm going to go with Andre the Giant.
The eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I'm gonna go with Andre the Giant, you know, because him in that that movie, The Princess Bride. That movie was great, man, and his part was the greatest out of all the parts, man. It's like, you know, this reminds me of what movie did somebody see that? So one of my friends saw The Monkey Man, right? And yeah. I was like, yeah, I saw that movie. He said, oh, what happened? I was like, dude, when they called him a monkey, dude, that motherfucker flipped out, dog.
He went off. Don't, whatever you do, don't call him the monkey man.
Don't call him that, bro. He don't like to listen to that shit. And he was like, oh, you didn't fucking see it. I'm like, I did, dog. I said, I saw it, man. I saw it.
Did you have in mind who your number one was going to be ever? No, not at. And you know what's crazy? Before we were setting up, I go, why don't we just say our best and our worst? And he went like this, yes, let's do that. And then he starts the podcast off with, let me give you my number five. And I quickly was like, oh, shit, I didn't even think of a five. I just thought of my best and my worst.
If I hear a great idea, I am not going to be the reason why that great idea doesn't happen. I'm like, let's fucking go.
And Pat came up with this topic days ago, and he texted us, because of OJ, why don't we do our top? And for his number one, he just said, this one.
But that's why when we came in here, I was like, hey, you know, we don't have to do that this week. I was like, we don't have to do that this week, man. And you were like, nah, man, let's do it. I'm like, oh, fuck, all right. Let's fucking go for it, dude.
Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant, baby.
Best athlete turned actor.
Best one, man. This guy used to drink. He used to drink full. I'm not even going to talk about his act. I'm just talking about him as a person. He used to drink like full can of beer. Used to be like fucking those little Pepsi little drinks like that in his fucking palm. And he used to walk around with like a case of those shits just so he can just feel what drunk feels like to us fucking mere mortals to this fucking legend, man. Andre the Giant. This guy was like 7 foot tall, and I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but I saw a video YouTube of when Hulk Hogan slammed him at WrestleMania 17, making up numbers. But yeah, that shit happened, and the fucking crowd went goddamn wild, man. It was an amazing thing to see. Wish I would have saw it. Andre the Giant. His benchmark movie, Princess Bride. You see? And that's the thing. The con is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Princess Bride. Andre the fucking Giant. You wouldn't think that would make a great mix, but it does. It's like surf and turf. And what's your number one?
My number one is your number four, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're talking about one of the biggest actors of all time. One of the, like, literally the definition of Hollywood. Like, yeah. He is the definitive action star. True. Like, we have all these other action stars. Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Cruise. The OG action star, Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger. And the benchmark movie that I definitely got to put through is Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I think when he made the first Terminator, people viewed Arnold Schwarzenegger differently. But when he did Terminator 2, I think that movie was so epic in Hollywood. It was also the switch of like, okay, this is what visual effects are going to be like in movies now. His performance was so fantastic, and it showed everyone not only his range, but like it showed that he did not reach his ceiling. Like he still had more to go in his career, and his career kept getting bigger after that. You're talking about True Lies and everything after that. I think still is the definition of what an action star can be. And then, dude, you see his career, how it took off in real life. Like,
yeah.
The fact that he got into politics and did all this other stuff. Like,
Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's doing this shit as a fucking foreigner too.
Yeah.
With a heavy accent, bro. With a heavy accent to the point that people mimic that accent. Like, you can, like, if you want to do a micro impersonation, you could just go, oh, and people know who the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's good.
You know, I always go back to that joke from Bill Burr about Arnold Schwarzenegger. The fact that came to this country not knowing the language, became a champion bodybuilder in a country where he didn't know the language, entered Hollywood and became the biggest actor of all time, went into politics, married into political royalty, married into the Kennedys, became one of the most well-known governors of all time. And then he's like, and you guys are going to go after him because he slept with his maid? Like, like, really?
The guy who came up with this line right here.
Oh, my God.
This guy right here. About bodybuilding and things. Can you get to it, please?
Bro, that music is so creepy.
It is. Have you ever seen this doc? This doc before?
I've always seen parts of it.
I've never seen the whole thing.
The greatest feeling you can get in the gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in the gym, is the pump. Let's say you train your biceps. Blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump. Your muscles get a really tight feeling, like your skin is going to explode any minute. You know, it's really tight. It's like somebody blowing air into your muscle. Yeah. It just blows up, and it feels different. It feels fantastic.
Like, I can hear me, like, listening to this, be like, yeah, I get it, man. Like, I'm like, yeah, the pump is good. And then
it's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling.
My bag is right next to your bag. You're coming all over everything.
Right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
I would love to do a skit of the person that was interviewing him and the evolution of his face, like in the beginning, like, oh, and then when he gets to the coming, huh?
What?
You're
coming all over the place.
What are you talking about, dude? And then, like, the audio guy's like, the fuck
what is he talking about? You coming? Did you come all over this house? Is this a hazard? That's what that itching is?
Now, did you think of anyone as your worst?
Oh, man. My worst. No. But let me go off of this
list. My worst would be Shaquille O'Neal. And I go, and my benchmark is either Steel, the movie Steel,
okay,
or Kazam, okay, when he did the rap scene.
Okay, that's good. But you know what? To go back to what you said off camera before, when you were making a list, I would say when you were making a list, you said that athletes that play themselves in movies shouldn't be considered as actors because all they're doing is just playing themselves. Right. Even though they're getting scripts to say things, it's still like, nah, you're not. You're not deviating from like the source material. You know what I mean? You're not deviating for what you do, kind of thing. So we can add Michael Jordan to that list. I think we can add we can add fucking Dan fucking Marino to that goddamn list. Yeah, and you know why I want to add that motherfucker to that goddamn list? He asked me. I'm not even gonna bring that up.
You can get into it. You can get into it. Why not? I think the people have their right to know.
I was 12 years old. A wee lad.
I wish we had animators that could draw this like cartoon as he's telling the story and narrating it.
I was a wee lad. I see Dan Marino at Don Shula restaurant was in Miami Lakes. I see him tell my dad, because I'm over here at with my folks. I tell my dad, like, yo, hey, that's Dan Marino. So, oh, see if you can go over there and go get an autograph from him or something. And I walk over to him. Now, mind you, he's over here talking to people. I'm a fucking little kid. I don't know any better. I walk up to him and say, hey, Dan Marino, is it cool if I can get your autograph? He said, you got $20, kid? And I stood there looking at him, and he looked at me, which felt like 30 seconds, and then he just kept on talking. So I walked away, walked over to my father. He said, oh, did he give you an autograph or something? And just so my dad wouldn't freak out and be like, this motherfucker, to this guy, I said, oh, nah, he was busy, so he couldn't give me one. So we left, and ever since then, my anger towards Dan Marino has been valid, because this guy, who I thought was pretty cool, because you know he played for the Dolphins, my home team. I thought he was I thought he was gonna give me a signature, but he never did. No autograph at all. I did end up working with him, like, I would have to say like 6 years ago. And he was a cool guy then. I never brought it up to him because I would have been in tears as an adult, being like, you could have gave me that autograph and life would have been great, but you didn't. You know, he was cool. He gave me a handshake at the end of the day, say, hey, great job, everybody, kind of stuff. But he didn't give me an individual great job. He gave it to everybody. So that energy was spread amongst like a crew of 30. So yeah, I didn't feel it in my heart. It didn't even make it to my heart. Just my ears. That's it, Dan. That's all I got to say to you, man. All I wanted was an autograph. if he would have gave me that autograph, would I still add it to this day? No, probably would have trashed it. But still, I would have been like, oh, Dan Marino gave me an autograph. So that's why I say that. No, I think he's the number one trash actor, sports broadcaster. I'm giving that to him. Yeah.
All right, and on that note,
yeah. Yeah, that's my. I don't know. What do you have? What else do you have? Well, what Lou Ferrigno?
Well, oh no, yeah, Lou Ferrigno.
I don't know. I think he's more positive than he is negative.
I feel like someone once told a negative story about him, and I could have sworn I heard it somewhere. But oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm thinking that, bro, there's so many people out there. If you're a celebrity, there's going to be people out there who's going to have, like, negative, like, encounters with you. Like, imagine how many people have negative encounters with you that you don't even fucking know that are negative. Like me with the fucking Dan Marino. Nah, he knew that shit was negative. I was 12 years old. What the fuck does a 12-year-old know about 20 bucks? It might as well have been $100, man. The hell? But still, yeah, like that. I'm trying to think of anybody else, but I really can't find. Carl Weathers?
Like, there's a certain way to go about it. Like, I remember Scottie Pimpin was here when I first started working here. He was in. He was here with his wife and kids, and I remember people going up to him and asking for his autograph. And what he was trying to tell them was like, "Guys, I'm just trying to have a date with my kids. You know, I'm not signing anything today." But like he talked about it. You know, he was talking about it. I think there's a way to, if you're just trying to avoid giving someone an autograph, and then to ask a child, "You got 20 bucks?" Like, bro, where in your right mind, in what universe do you think that's the right thing to say to a child? In what universe do you think that that's okay? You know, it's just, it's fucked up.
It hurt my feelings.
And how old were you?
12. Mm-hmm. I could have been, I was 12. 12 or 11, I was around that time.
That's crazy. And then not only that, you're like one of the most well-known football players of all time. And you're going to ask for 20 bucks? Are you really hurting for money? I know he's not.
You know what's crazy about that shit? There was other people who said that they've had encounters with Dan Marino and he's been like that kind of guy. So I was like, yeah, that shit checks out. That dude was he was an asshole to me. I'm trying to think. There was somebody else who had an encounter recently. What's the guy's name who plays the new Captain America?
Oh, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie had
I've been getting that vibe from him. The way he portrays himself in public, I don't know. And then I think recently there's a video where he's like, I've only made two bad movies. Two. If you look at my IMDb, I've only made, like, he's really cocky. Because if I was the person interviewing him, I would have been like, bro, I only know you in two movies. So what are you talking about?
I don't know if he's saying he only made two bad movies. I don't know about that. But you saying that you only made two bad movies? Buddy, I got something to tell you. But I know that he was driving. There was this lady who was on TikTok who said that she saw him, that he was driving to a gas station that she was at. And, you know, he was driving in a lifted truck, windows down, you know, music blasting. And he pulls up so he can get some gas. And she walks over to him to be like, you know, oh, let me go say hello and stuff like that. And it was, to me, I find this shit really funny because when she walks over, she said, "Oh, hi, Mr. Mackey or whatever," and he goes like this. And like, nah, I don't want no part of whatever you're trying to do or anything like that. And then she found offense to that shit, and you know, rather than like, you know, take that shit in, she you know, she took to TikTok, and when she took it to TikTok, TikTok was in Anthony Mackie's favor, saying that he has gone on to say that, nah, either see me at these cons or when I'm doing these press junkets, but if you see me in real life, don't come up to me. He has said that, like, multiple times. So for her to do that, it was like, nah, mm-mm. You're going against the rules at this point, which is fucking hilarious to me. Because, I mean, it's not something that you'll see like an actor or something would do to somebody. But I get it. I get that. No, don't. Maybe it's the way that he did it that was wrong about it. But to me, since I'm not the person that it happened to, it's fucking hilarious. Nah, actually, if it did happen to me, it would be fucking funny. Just the stop of the hand, like, yo, hey, like, nah, I'm just, especially you filling your gas, you doing all that kind of shit.
But is he really on that level that people have been approaching him so much that he has to do this? I'm sorry, but I don't think he is.
Maybe he is. Like, I mean, people gonna.
His real name's Clarence. He lives at home with both parents. His parents have a real good marriage.
I wonder how many times did that shit come up to him. I know something about you. You went to what?
You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school.
One Pac, two Pac, three Pac. You know, I gotta know if that shit still does. That shit still hold up, man. 8 Mile Clarence, this man. 8 Mile.
Well, the One Pac, Two Pac was with a different rapper.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I think those rappers that he went against, those raps were really good. That last one, it was just, if you think about it, the guy in their crew who shot himself actually saved the movie because he gave him that strategy, like, oh, if you just diss yourself, then he's got nothing against you. He gave him that idea. So he's actually the hero. Of the movie. Yes.
Okay. Anthony fucking Mackie. Let that bitch go fly. Oh, whoa. I can't believe my ass. Not a lot of hostility. Pumping a lot of anger.
All right. Hey, check this out. We got new rules. Being a championship round, each of these cats, they get a minute and a half.
What happened to Mekhi Phifer?
I think he does TV shows now. You know what? In his fucking defense, man, you give somebody this fucking beat, man, it's an automatic win for me. It's a fucking win. And he's fucking talking to the crowd.
Oh no, he does say it to him. Here it comes.
But I know something about you.
You went to Cranbrook at the private school. What's the matter, dog? You in Paris? This guy's a gangster. His real name is Clarence. And Clarence lives at home with both parents. And Clarence's parents have a real good marriage. This guy don't want to battle. He shook. Cause ain't no such thing.
A halfway crook. Oh my God. You got the crowd involved? I'm leaving. I wouldn't have caught the mic. I think that's what he lost.
Because he caught the mic?
He shouldn't have caught it, man. Why catch the mic, dude? Like, why the fuck would you catch it? I'd have been like, nah. Like, get that shit out of here. I'm like, are you serious? He had a minute and a half and he went over. I should win automatically.
Disqualification.
Everything is a disqualification. Everything was should have been a disqualification. Clarence? Dude, I wonder what's the name drop off from that point. You know how they say, like, Karen, the name of people naming their babies Karen after, you know, people saying, oh, this is what a Karen is? I wonder what's the name drop off from, like, Clarence ever since, like, that movie. His name is Clarence. Like, ooh.
Like, people just stop naming their babies Clarence is fucking hilarious, man. And you know what? I have to admit, like, the reasons that the crowd turned on him is because he has a good life. He went to private school, and his parents are, they're loving.
Like, the fact that that was the diss.
That was the diss, like, damn.
Loser.
Dude, that's some shit that you hear, like, in high school or something like that. It said, look, he got both his parents. He's got a book. He got a jam sport. Nah, jam sports was dope. I'm trying to think of what's the stupid-ass rank that people would say in high school that was like, it was like something positive.
Five-star first gear, yeah. Trapper keeper.
Yeah, he has a five-star first gear. He's trying, y'all. If you show that you're trying in school when you're in high school, it was like the most weirdest thing, bro. People would like fucking bash you and shit like that.
You walked around with that scientific calculator.
Yeah.
Texas Instruments.
This motherfucker's trying and shit. Like, he got a calculator that the school didn't even give him. Like, he bought that at, like, Walgreens or some shit like that. You trying too hard. That was the shit. I feel like all those bully kids who were like that, they were, like, paid. They were paid actors, dog. They had to be paid actors because people were just like, they would buy into that shit. And then as soon as they bought into it, they would like not try at school at all. Like, there were people who would like bring the actual curriculum and, you know, the books to the class, and then just take it to the whole fucking class. Because, by the way, like in school, that 5 minute interval that you had, you never had enough time to go to the locker, grab a book, and what you call it, and bring it into class. You just had to carry all your fucking books with you. There were people who would like just carry all their fucking books with them, and then out of nowhere, they just stopped as soon as you start making fun of them because it got to them. You don't want to be considered as a nerd. Now it's cool to be a nerd, but you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it wasn't cool. I mean, there was songs about like nerds that wasn't cool. What's that? What's the song that was about a nerd? Nerd. NERD. Nah, that's when nerds start being cool. I'm trying to find a song that's about like nerds and you know what? All songs are about like nerds getting their comeuppance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's pretty much it. That's been our episode. We're at an hour something. So that's been our list. There you have it. Our list of why is it not playing anything? There we go. That's been our list, ladies and gentlemen. Our list of athletes turn actors. Kevin did the list. I didn't. Clearly, you can tell by how the lists are like all over the fucking place. But I stand by saying that Andre the Giant is the number one actor, athlete turn actor. So I've been Pat.
And this is Kev.
And we've been us, and y'all been y'all. Hope everybody had a ball. Catch you next week. Peace.